chapter 2 and verse 7 this morning. It's where we're going to begin. I don't know if Esther was an ancient beekeeper or not, but there are a lot of qualities that she held that begin with B. So we're going to be talking about Esther's bees today, but a few fun facts about bees. It takes 10 million foraging trips to make one jar of honey. 10 million trips to make you one jar of honey. Your queen bee lays 2,000 eggs a day. No wonder the whole tribe is buzzing. Bees emit a positive charge. Flowers emit a slight negative charge. When the bee lands on the flower, the pollen just sticks to them. You always wondered how they collected it, right? Where they have these little backpacks or whatever. It just clings to them. Bees have five eyes. Two complex, three simple, and three of them are hairy eyes. The eyes themselves have hair on it. Bees are able to do all these amazing things even though their brains are smaller than a grain of sugar. But then you don't need a whole lot of brain power just to do what God has called you to do. Would that we were as wise as bees, because our faith fact for today, God knows what's best. Can you say amen to that? God knows what's best. People have been trying to improve on the Word of God for centuries. How many would agree we only make things worse? It would be better just to be obedient to the call of God. Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. Father, thanks for a man who opened up his home to a young lady in need. Someone who couldn't turn the other way. Somebody who was himself in need at the time. They were dangerous days, but he cared. And because he cared, you could take that offering that he gave up and turn it into something so amazing. We're still talking about it today, thousands of years later. And so often, we don't feel like we have much to offer. But if we'll just surrender it to you, it can become something great. So Lord, help us to be a yielded people, not to be too big for our britches, not to be too smart for our own good, but to be wise enough to follow you in everything in life. And we'll thank you for this help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Jews were in exile. That means that the nation of Israel had been destroyed. It was no more. But the Jews themselves, those that survived that conquest, reappeared in the land of Babylon. They were taken into exile or scattered throughout the holdings of the Babylonian Empire. And Babylon itself repopulated what was the land of Israel with folk from all over. It was an ancient way of holding off rebellion. If we could disconnect you from the people that you know and so on, it's less likely that you're going to connect for a coup or rebellion of any kind. So they were always misplacing people. And because of that, the world became quite a melting pot of its own. And most people fairly readily, after a generation or two, they got with the language of that area. They took on each other's customs, and you had this blend. But there was this one people group, the Jews, the people of Israel, that stayed separate from everybody else because they were following the word of God, and they were trying to get back to that place that their ancestors knew They realized when our ancestors were faithful to God, God blessed us tremendously. When we went to sin, that's why we're scattered and all over the place, and they were trying to get back to what God had promised them. Time came when Babylon itself was replaced by the empire of the Medes and the Persians. And so everybody's still scattered, but it's under this administration that they're going to be allowed to go back to the land of Israel and rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls in Jerusalem, and all those fine things. But before that takes place, we find this little story of Esther nestled in the scriptures. There was a gentleman by the name of Mordecai who worked for the Persian government. He and his niece, Hadassah or Esther, lived in the capital city of Susa. And as I say, he worked for the government. A strange thing happened. King Xerxes had a beautiful queen by the name of Vashti. They were having a banquet. Xerxes had a little bit too much to drink. He asked the queen to come and kind of model in front of a bunch of drunk dudes. And she said, "Ain't no way I'm doing that." And so they all got upset. He ended up banishing her from the kingdom. After he sobered up for a while, he really missed his queen. But because she was banished according to their law, he couldn't recall what he had done. So his advisors got together and they said, "Well, how about this? We'll have a national beauty contest, and ladies will come and take their turn, and we'll get all the virgins of the empire together, and you can choose whichever one you want to be the next queen." And so they posted it on the empire's website, looking for beauty queens, and they had this contest, and they lined them all up. Esther was a beautiful young lady, and so she was recruited into this endeavor. And not only was she recruited, but the fellow that was in charge of the whole thing, Haggai. Haggai took to Esther, and he really liked her. So he assigned 7 handmaids to her, gave her the most favored position in all of the harem. And whenever she went in to be with the king for that day, he suggested what she should take and so on and so forth. So she was an odds-on favorite even from the beginning. And of course, she became the queen. God allowed that to the series of events to unfold so that she could become the queen. She was beautiful. That's our first B. Esther was beautiful. Beauty has a way of opening doors that other things cannot. And it attracts, unarms, disarms. It has a power all its own. We love beautiful things, beautiful scenery. Wayne was saying this morning before, "Did you see the sky this morning? The colors were just awesome. The heavens declare the glory of God." One of the attractive things about God are the beautiful things that he has created. And beautiful people have a power about them. Never underestimate the power of beauty. She was a beautiful woman, but not just outer beauty. Her beauty was more than skin deep. As I say, the rest of the harem took to her, the officials and so on. So she must have had a demeanor about her that was quite delightful. We love beautiful people who don't lord it over the rest of us. We love beautiful people who welcome us in to enjoy the different kinds of beauty that they have. If God has granted you beauty, recognize it, embrace it, enhance it, and use it to his glory. He has made you beautiful for his sake. And those that see you as beautiful, you want to be pointing them to the Lord Jesus. Don't become puffed up. Don't diminish it. Don't become ashamed of being beautiful. But receive it as it is a gift. We're all gifted in different ways and in different areas. And if that's one of the gifts that God has given to you, you realize that there are negatives as well as positives with something like that. I myself feel sorry for beautiful people because they have temptations the rest of us will never have to endure. They will have opportunities, ungodly opportunities that don't hound the rest of us. And so pray for the beautiful people in your life and trust for them that they stay the course in God and don't pierce themselves through with sorrows for the gift that God has given to them. And if you're not beautiful according to this world's standards, if they're not beating a path to your door or whatever, take solace in the fact that God sees you as gorgeous. God never stepped back and said, oops, oh, whew. Wow. Hope there aren't any mirrors in their house. And I'm sure you've probably experienced this too. You've seen some people that are, you know, but then you also saw a beauty in them that you were almost ashamed of yourself. Well, you were ashamed of yourself for your first thoughts because you saw something that other people didn't. I often get a kick out of, and maybe I shouldn't even say this. Okay, I'm going to say this, and then you tell me whether I should say it in the second service or not, okay? You can be the test group. But I run into gentlemen who talk about their wife as this, they're the most beautiful. And then I meet them. God bless you, buddy. You know, that must be a gift from God. But how many agree with Troy? You wouldn't share that tonight. All right, very good. We'll just cross that out of the notes then. Thank you for being the test group. And forget I said it, okay? Just 2 weeks from now, the only thing you'll remember from this sermon. Yeah. But it is a gift from God. And if God has gifted you that way, you know, we pray for you. God bless you. Esther's physical beauty got her into the palace. If she hadn't been beautiful, that door wouldn't have opened. This wouldn't have been an opportunity. Esther was bright. Our second B. She was beautiful. She was bright. Her inner beauty shone through, that warmth, compassion, all. But she was also mentally sharp. And she was smart enough to know what she didn't know, smart enough to know what she couldn't do. And she cried out to God in her desperation when she needed an answer. There was this wicked prince named Haman. And he had devised a plan to wipe out the Jews from the entire empire. And that plan had already been in process. There was a countdown to killing all the Jews. Everybody was becoming armed. Everybody was becoming excited about, we're going to kill the Jews. And this is moving forward. They're arming themselves to kill the Jews. Esther herself and Mordecai, they were in danger of being annihilated as well. But no one knew that Esther was a Jew at this point. They needed help. They needed divine help. The whole empire was aimed against them. They didn't have the wherewithal to deflect this in any way. Esther wasn't relying on her beauty, her wit, her womanly wiles. She cried out to God and she said, Mordecai, get every Jew in the city that you know. Ask them to fast for the next 3 days. Don't eat anything. Don't even drink anything. This is a desperate time. We need an answer from God. Bright people go with God's plan for their life, not their own. Because God knows what's best. God knows what's best. How many would say, all my plans have worked out just like I expected them to? That's just, you know, when I, no. But how many would say God knows best? Some of the best things he ever did for me was not give me what I thought I wanted. We'll go with God's plan. I know some very intelligent, gifted, intellectually blessed pastors. I love to listen to them on the radio through the week. Alistair Begg and Tony Evans and Charles Swindoll, Dr. David Jeremiah, and the list goes on. Very gifted people. I marvel at their memories. I can't even remember all the books I've read, let alone quote from them. And these people are quoting just so freely from all this stuff. What do I come up with? Well, I know some guys with ugly wives who think they're beautiful. That's, you know. So often I talk to these guys and I walk away feeling like a Volkswagen Beetle at a Corvette convention. You know what I mean? I think, oh, I wish I had a mind like that and could recall and could think and all that. But I've settled into who I am. I've become comfortable with me through time, and I figured it out. They're like rivers. They're like great reservoirs. They've got all this knowledge, and they can just pull from it at any given time, and they quote this guy and that gal. I'm more like a shallow stream. God pours it in one side, and it comes out the other. You know, this is what I studied this week. This is what you're going to hear. And I think the beauty in that is there's not a lot to clog it up. It doesn't get confused with a whole bunch of stuff from other places. It just goes in and it comes right out. And I think the Lord loves that simplicity at times. And that's how it works for me. I feel sorry for intelligent people, actually. They got all that stuff up there they've got to maintain and try, and they've got a reputation of being intelligent, so people expect, you know, something witty or whatever from them, and so they've got all this pressure going on. And you know what else is sad about really smart people? They have to figure everything out. They're not satisfied with just the fact that it works. They need to know how it works. And a lot of times when God is doing something, you can't figure it out. And you don't know where it's going. And so they struggle with faith. They need to know. But you don't need to know. I'm living proof of that. There's so much more I don't know than what I do know. But there's a few things that see me through. When I don't understand, still I can trust Him. He's always faithful no matter what. All I have to do is hang on. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Not the most beautiful will be saved. Not the most intelligent will be saved. Just hang on. It doesn't take a whole lot of... I was talking to my son a while back, and he said, Dad, I see you as an endurer. You're a plotter. You put your head down and you see it through. That's who you are. You know... Bombs flying, and we're just gonna, hallelujah. If I was brighter, I might not plow through so much. But if intelligence is your gift, God bless you. God bless you. But use it for the kingdom of God. So whoever you are, I'm not too handsome, I'm not too bright. Well, don't give up. God can use all kind of wattages. You know, some lamps, you can't use a 100-watt bulb in. Try your microwave or what have you. But we all have a place. When God created you, He said, oh, they're beautiful. That's perfect, just the way. Because here's where they fit. Right like that. Have you ever found something in your house every once in a while? Barbara, I will find something that will say, what is that? I don't know. Well, maybe we should hang on to it just in case we, you know. Almost never you find where it does belong or what it is. But every once in a while you go, I know what that is. Here, it's missing over here. And then you put it and you feel like, wow, you know. Some of us, from the time we're born, we know where we fit, or other people just know. Others of us get to our 60s and we're still trying to. But you will if you follow the Lord. I even think that there's a place for misfits. God needs some misfits in life. The kind of are always seeking and wondering, and they're very helpful as they go from this to that, and they accumulate a lot of knowledge because of all the comings and goings. And at the end, they'll be able to say, you know what? It was a pretty good life. It was a pretty good life. Be as bright as you can be, wherever you are. The greatest waste of life is to keep your nose pasted to the window and say, I wish I was that one. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. You have no idea what those other people are going through at any given moment. Trust the one that placed you. You know, I know you're wanting to, where's heaven's HR department? I want to transfer. No. Godliness with, what was that word? Contentment is great gain. One of the nice things about getting older, at least should happen in your life, is you become comfortable in your own skin. All right, I wasn't this, I didn't that, and I do it. But you know what? It's been pretty good as it is. Kevin Wells had come to our church for a little while. Some of you might know Kevin, a younger man, a bald fellow, very intelligent, was a teacher. He moved back to Ohio since. But in his spare time, he was writing a thesis on the inspiration of Scripture. He's a science teacher and all of that. But he's just got a lot of horsepower up there. I mean, wow, very intelligent young man. And he's been writing a book. It's such technical language. I shrunk it down there. I couldn't understand it if I read it to you anyway. And he said, Pastor Joel, I'd like you to review this for me. And he said, you know, I want to make sure my conclusions are coming out right and so on and so on. And I said, whoa. I said, I know somebody you need to talk to. I can connect you with my friend Randy Huber over there at Church of God in York Springs. He loves this stuff. He does this in his spare time. And so they're having the time of their lives going back and forth about, you know, the technicalities of Scripture and what so-and-so wrote in 400 B.C. and, you know, all this kind of stuff is going on. And it's all good, you know. Some people have that gift of intelligence. And they can speak on that plane with other people. Me, I'm more like a UPS driver. I show up, I deliver the package. I don't really know where it came from. I don't know what I'll be delivering tomorrow. But God gave me this. Here it is. It's for us. Let's enjoy in the moment. Esther was brave. She was beautiful. She was bright. She was brave. In order to carry out the plan God gave her, she needed to put her life at risk. God gives her a plan. It doesn't sound like a great plan. Go invite the wicked prince and the king to a banquet. Okay. And how's that going to help? Well, let's take this one step at a time. Well, the first step was she had to get the king's attention to invite him. And she told Mordecai, you know the law. Anybody who approaches the king without having been summoned, they get the axe. Vashti was banished because she came. She would not come when she was invited. If I come uninvited, I could lose my head. Nevertheless, if this is the only way that it can be done, you know, Mordecai, you know, uttered those famous words, it could be that God brought you to this position for such a time as this. If you fail, God will bring deliverance to the Jews some other way, but you will have missed your opportunity. And so she said, okay, if I die, I die. And she went and stood in the courtyard. There was one exception. If the king extended his scepter to you, then, you know, a little bit like husbands, you can tell me whether to use this illustration too or not. You know, you're in the living room and you've got the channel changer. You're watching the game. And the wife comes in. Unless he extends the channel changer toward you, you should stay out of the... No, well, maybe we'll let that one go too. But she's in the foyer. He extends the scepter. And whew, that's the first obstacle out of the way. At least I've got his ear. And then she invites the two of them. And here's this enemy of the Jews. She's sitting down to have a meal right beside him. And it doesn't seem like it's working out too good, because at the end of the first meal, he's haughtier than ever. He's, you know, I'm the only one other than the king that the queen invited to the banquet. Yeah. We weren't trying to puff him up. That doesn't seem like a good thing. Esther was putting herself in double jeopardy in order to try to save her people. She was exposing herself as a Jew. She had a chance just to slip by this thing and maybe everybody else gets killed, but maybe nobody finds out that she's a Jew and she'll be all right. And then, of course, there's that standing in front of the king thing. If he doesn't, then that could be deadly all its own. Esther swallowed her fear, stepped into the courtyard, and put her life on the line. We spend a lot of time in church trying to convince each other, talk to each other about why we shouldn't be afraid to share the gospel with other people, why we shouldn't be afraid to do this or that in the name of the Lord. I think fear is going to be a part of it, no matter what. We just have to be brave enough to swallow our fear, to step over that threshold, and say, God, I do this for you. I do this in your name. The final B that I came up with here is Esther was obedient. Obedient. I told you I wasn't the brightest bulb in the, you know. But Esther was obedient. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are if you're not going to be obedient. I believe that God has created a lot of wonderful people. He's got millions of beautiful people. He's got millions of very intelligent people. The things that they come up with and are able to do are just, that just blows me away. I was in the restroom this morning, and to get a paper towel, you just wave your hand and how does that work? Now, maybe you're intelligent enough to explain that to me. You can stay after and we'll go over that. But here's technology that, you know, World War II, they come up with sonar and so, and wow, what a mystery. Now, my car beeps when I'm backing up and somebody's walking behind it or something like that. I have, and now if I want a paper towel, you know, how do these things work? We got intelligent people. We have beautiful people. Why is our world so messed up? Because most people are disobedient people. If their gifts were surrendered to God, what a great world we would have. Would be so awesome. Everybody would be taken care of and needs would be met. And you've said it as well as I have. If these people who hack our computers would just go get a real job. I mean, I can't even get in my own computer, let alone hack your computer. These people are that smart. Why don't they just go get a job and be rich that way? Why do they want to steal my money? It doesn't matter how intelligent you are if you're not going to be obedient. But if you're obedient, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are. God can use that. God can use that. Beautiful, bright, brave, obedient. It all comes down to God knows what's best. Are you smart enough to seek His will for your life? Are you smart enough to say, God, this is what I wanted. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. God, I don't like this in my life, but I understand you've got it all in balance. And I accept my lot in life, that you might be glorified. I don't understand it. I don't know how it's going to end, but I'm just going to trust that because I love you and you love me, I'll follow you no matter what. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, reign in me.